Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, no more sleeping in bed, no more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up. A new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Na 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 na. We gotta change it, girl. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand. The only thing we have to do is put it in our minds. Surely things will work out, they do it every time. The world won't get no better if we just let it be. Gotta change it, girl. Just you and me.
Amen, 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 amen. To God be the glory. Wake up, everybody. No more sleeping in bed. I tell you, that has been our theme song, Jesse, for many, many, many years. And I tell you, if we take time to just listen to the lyrics and read them every now and then, it would cause us all to have a little bit more awareness on what we've been through, what we're going through, and where we need to be. And so I'm just grateful and thankful that tonight is a night that we've been able to come together. I know tonight might be a night that there may be a few that got home from work and wondering what in the world has happened to my body today. I feel exhausted. I feel overwhelmed. I feel a little tired, more so than I normally do at the start of a week. Well, let me just remind you of one little thing that occurred on Saturday, late Saturday night, early Sunday morning, and that's when we lost that hour. Most of us don't realize it, but it will take us about a week to get our body clocks in line with that time change. And I just pray that God would energize us all as we even make our way through the Blog Talk Radio show today. I'm one that is definitely in need of prayer. My body was tired all day today. That 5:30 that we get up was more like 4:30 on our body clocks. We tried to get to bed a little early last night and missed the mark slightly, but I just pray that God would allow us all to get a good night's sleep tonight and be able to rise in the morning and do the things that we need to do to continue to make our mark here on this earth. I want to just thank you. My name is Tammy Storr, and I will be joined by Minister Jesse Storr shortly, thanking God for your presence, thanking God for allowing you to have your schedules free tonight to be here with us. We pray God's blessings upon each and every one of you as we ask that you continue to pray for us as well, as we continue to grow, as you continue to grow, as we continue to do God's work here on earth. As always, we usher in the Holy Spirit and understand with two or more that are gathered together, we call upon the mighty name of Jesus, that we know who we need most is the Holy Spirit to be our mouthpiece, to take over, and to also be the force that we will use on our call on this day, on our Blog Talk show, to be able to minister to each and every one of you. So most gracious and most heavenly Father, as always, I want to personally say thank you for your presence. Thank you for allowing us to come before your throne of mercy, your throne of grace, asking that you continue to be in the midst of everything we say, do, and touch on tonight, especially tonight, Lord God. I pray for our listening audience. I know sometimes we get comfortable just listening, and there are so many times that we desire to speak, but unfortunately we allow fear and we allow Satan and other things that get in our way that will not allow us to come forward and speak what you have encouraged us to bring forth for the listening audience. So I pray tonight, Lord God, that our listening audience will take an opportunity to press 1 on their phone and be placed in the host queue, and at the appropriate time, be able to speak. I thank you on tonight, Lord God, that every word that we deliver tonight, that it will be received, Father God, from those under the sound of our voice, but it not only will be received by them, but it will be shared by them to others that they come in contact with. I pray tonight for every marriage, Lord God, that you would touch every marriage and allow us to understand that oneness is driven by consistency. And anything that we do in life and we're consistent in doing what's right, we have a much greater opportunity for success. And so I just pray tonight, Lord God, that as we dissect this word a little bit, that you would give us the ability to be able to deliver it in a manner and in a way that it would come through, Father God, with each and every one of our listening audience through simplicity and understanding. And I pray tonight, Lord God, that you would also continue to order the steps of each and every one of us to allow us to grow, to allow us to prosper in our everyday life. And that definitely includes our marriages. I pray tonight, Father, for all those that desire to be married, that you would order their steps, give them the ability to lean, depend, and trust you, Lord God, for their future. For those that are engaged and looking to get married soon because they found, Lord God, that wonderful, awesome man of God has found his perfect soulmate, Lord God. And we know you said in your word, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. So on tonight, I want to just thank you for that. And for those that are still out in the wings, just waiting to be found, as I speak of our beautiful women, I pray that God would just continue to allow you to exercise your right in terms of self-control and patience and be able to wait on the Lord, and he will bless you immensely. As always, I want to say thank you for this awesome, powerful man of God that I have the privilege of calling my husband, the man of my dreams, the man of my life, that you've given me the ability, Lord God, to be able to come together in oneness and be able to continue to study, to show ourselves approved, to be able to understand that we're not perfect. And on a daily basis, it seems like sometimes we have to ask one another for forgiveness. And I just pray tonight, Lord God, that you continue to help us understand how important that word called forgiveness is. And so on tonight, Lord, I just want to say thank you for your presence. Thank you for your many, many blessings that you have bestowed upon us and will continue to bestow upon each and every one of us in days to come. I love you, Lord God. I want to say thank you once again for this day and every day that you order our steps and give us an opportunity to be a blessing to others. In Jesus' mighty name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, tonight, ladies and gentlemen, I just thank God for your presence. I will start us out tonight, and as we think about oneness is driven by consistency, you know, sometimes even as I was praying, it came in my spirit, came in my heart. How consistent are we in praying? Praying is where it all starts. If you start believing, you start having faith in the prayers that you stand up on a daily basis, on a regular basis, throughout the day. Prayer is no such thing as prayer is just at dinner time or anytime you're eating. No such thing as prayer is just at nighttime when you're going to bed, that most of us were taught when we were little. There's no such thing as prayer is just in the morning time for the majority of us that are on morning prayer lines, that we understand how powerful it is to pray for the issues of the world and pray for others. But when you get your prayer life consistent, trust me, everything else will be consistent. I'm reminded of even through my studies, Jesse, I think about when it talks about even prayer, as we just tie this all together with consistency. It says prayer requests from God. Just you got to do that. You got to request prayer from God. You got to ask God to be in the midst of what you and your spouse want to accomplish. You got to ask God to be in the midst of what you desire to come forward in your life, single women, single men. We got to know that we serve a mighty God. We serve a God of grace. And if we serve a God of grace, we've got to understand and know, because he is a God of grace, and we know because he's a God of grace, we are thankful that we can count. We can truly count on each and everything that God desires to do in our life if we allow him to lead, guide, and direct us. And so one of the things that I studied, it said, God of grace, I am thankful I can count on your unchanging ways. You are always loving, merciful, and full of grace. Thank you for always being there for me. Thank you for consistently being in my midst when I struggle. Now, that's the God of grace. How many of us know that God said in his word that we have the ability to deliver what he has delivered? But there are some things that we have to do first. We have to believe. We have to have faith. We have to go forward and exercise our right in that area. So can you imagine when we put in this and we change this to marriages of grace? We are thankful that we can count on each other's unchanging ways. We are grateful that we are always loving, we are always merciful, and full of grace as a married couple. Powerful. Can you imagine by saying each and every day to your spouse, thank you for always being there for me. Thank you for consistently being in my midst when I struggle. How many of us know that who would you rather be there to pick you up and encourage you and hold you and let you know how much they love you than your spouse, who should be your best friend, the first person you turn to when there's trouble along the way, when you're just not feeling yourself in a given day, i.e. Tammy's store today? We all have trouble that comes our way. We all have challenges. We all have issues every now and then. But we got to be reminded, get through it, because trouble don't last always. We had that song played this morning, and I just thank God, because if we remind ourselves of that, we will allow ourselves to be a little bit more consistent. When we go into consistency, you know, I think about so often, Jesse, you know, when we think about it, we want to think about really consistency is conformity in the application of something. And then tonight, for the sake of tonight, it's marriage. Typically, that which is necessary for the sake of logic, accuracy, or fairness. So if we put all that together and we want to go a little bit further with consistency, we know that consistency denotes evenness, steadiness, stability, consistency, regularity, uniformity, equilibrium, and unity. That's powerful. I know most of us don't look at our marriage and look at consistency in our marriage that way. But if you don't, can I encourage you tonight? I would encourage you to do just what this word is saying to do. The it factor that holds something together. When you got consistency going, there can be like all hell breaking loose over on the other side of the house. But when you're consistent in your marriage with your spouse, you'd be amazed on whatever the hell is going on the other side of the house. Heaven is happening on the other. And you got to know how to pull it together and how to work through whatever Satan is trying to do. You got to stand strong. You got to stand bold. You got to take charge and let him know you're getting up out of this house, because this is not where hell belongs. This is a house of heaven. And we got to know that there's power in your word. There's power in your confession. And sometimes you got to get into that even just a little bit more. In life, we are admonished to be consistent in the pursuit of whatever it is we want to accomplish. And I think about the pursuit of happiness. I know that's one of my husband's favorite movies. And when you think about, you do everything in your power to make sure that along the way, you are going to make some folks happy. It's your job. It's what God has you. And so if that is your job, if that is where God has you, then what you got to understand and know that you can accomplish whatever it is you want to do. If it is to accomplish the pursuit of happiness, accomplish that. Accomplish that by doing everything in your power to make it happen. Because there are moments in the journey of life when we take time out to reflect on where we are and where we may take a sabbatical. Well, think about it. We know as married couples, that's not an area that we need to take a sabbatical on. There's no time for time out in marriage. Because when you take time out in marriage and you give up that consistency in loving each other and calling yourself wanting to take a sabbatical and move on somewhere else for a period of time, and then think you're going to move back into your household with your spouse and everything's going to be the way they were before. Well, I want to encourage you tonight. Consistency to do your part to get along is the most important. It's the most important by far. It's not like your profession. It's not like a vocation or trade that you're doing and you might get a little burnout that you might say, oh, I need to take a sabbatical for my job. I need to relax and chill out for a month or so. And I'm going to tell you, these millennials, baby, they take more sabbaticals than anybody I know as it relates to their jobs. I'm just hoping and praying that they're able to understand the difference between their jobs and their marriage and everything they're in. Because there's not a such thing as we got to give something up, and we should not be in the presence of doing what we know works for us that got us in the position we were in for many years starting out in our marriage. We can't lose sight that it took hard work to get there. We can't lose sight that when we first start on a position on a new job, that it didn't happen overnight that we became an expert. It took time for us to get there. So then I want to think about, and I want to just say, you know, it's hard to be consistent because we tend to focus on the outcome more than the process. How many of us know that there is a process in every single thing we do in life? The sooner we figure out what that process is, the better off we're going to be. So many times we forget about how we should write things down and figure out what step do we take first and, you know, where do we go from here? And, you know, there are so many situations that I can recall that if I would have just done it a little different after I've been through it, and if I would have had my processes in order, I probably wouldn't have had as many headaches. I probably wouldn't have struggled as much early on. But for most of us, in marriage, most of us have our process together. We come together and we get to know each other in a friendship. Then that friendship develops into a uniqueness called love. And that unique love between those two individuals, one day, if God willing, will become a union. And that union then has the ability to operate in oneness, which is where we are today. If you allow yourself and afford yourself that opportunity, you'd be amazed that then you will be able to put it, you know, another way, that we are now more drawn to the positive things of outcomes rather than the struggle of the journey. That's why there is a process. That's why you fell in love. That's why you got married. You had kids. But along the way, life gets busy. Life gets challenging. And can you really do what you need to do to help swoop in and change everything? Sometimes it's hard. If you don't have both parties that's willing, after you let things get gone so far without consistency, it can get that way. And it's hard to reel it back in. So I pray that you continue to use consistency in everything you do. And in doing that, with that process, with consistency, you will believe and you will understand that you have the ability to be able to be successful in your marriage. I'm reminded, Jesse, of 1 Corinthians 15:58. It says, therefore, my brothers, my beloved brothers and sisters, it says, be steadfast, immovable, always, not sometimes, always, abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. See, that's where we got to kind of decide. Are we doing this? Are we being steadfast and movable, always abounding in the work of the Lord or in the work of you? You can't do it in the work of you because it's not going to work. If we don't have God to be a part of that three strand that we always speak about, that you got to wove God in, it's that three strands where you got both spouses, you got the husband, the wife, and God definitely in the middle that woven you together. Without that, you'll fail. Without it, it's just impossible for you to be successful. Jesse, what is marital consistency? That's a good question. When I think about marital consistency, I think about it that it can be defined as doing those things that provide the best and most optimum possibility for success in our marriage, in each and every marriage, Jesse, that's represented on our call today. I know that there is no greater contribution made to society and mankind than successful marriages. And that's why I started out a little bit, even with this consistency thing, with prayer. Because a family that prays together stays together. And we want success. And there's so much being thrown at us in this world that if we don't have God in everything we do, and if we're not utilizing that thing called prayer in everything we do, we're going to struggle. We're going to have issues. So when I think about it, I always say to myself, most of the time, Jesse, when we think about it, when you bring children into the mix and you think about children that have two loving parents, and you know what? Let's just face it. We know through our studies, it's not just our studies. We know it through studies that if you've got an intact family together, you do so much better. And sometimes there has to be a purpose and a reason for everything we do in life. And sometimes you got to set yourself aside and say, you know what? We may be going through right now as husband and wife, but let us not lose sight in that perfect gift that God has given us in the form of a child or in the form of children. He entrusted those kids in our care, whether they're yours that came through your loins or they were yours that God made available for you to adopt. They're your children that you came together to be able to bring up in this world. So we know that we must understand that the expectation of all involved will be much greater if we use consistency in our marriage to keep our marriage intact, use consistency in doing what we need to do for our children to keep our entire family intact. If we do everything we are supposed to do by serving a mighty God that's always willing, capable, and able of making sure that we as a married couple can stay in oneness. Because see, we don't want to be just in a marriage. We want to be in oneness where we're able to look in the eyes of one another and say that there is nothing I want to do on my own. I want to do it with you. God said when we come together in holy matrimony, we come together in oneness. And the way we do that is we're able to understand and know that within marital consistency, that it gives us the optimum possibility to do just that. If we can't stay consistent in how we love when we first went through dating all the way through now being married 20 to 30, 40, 50 years, we will have success, not just success, but great success. Well, when you wake up in the morning, you look forward to rolling over and giving your spouse a kiss good morning, to just be excited to be in this world with him another day or with her another day, that you look forward to getting up and getting in the shower, getting dressed and going about your day, and most of that is for the benefit of your family and for others around you. It gives you a difference. Opportunity to look at life a little different. When I think about Hebrews 10:23, Jesse, it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. See, being consistent, you can't be wavering. You know, when I think about wavering, sometimes, Jesse, I think about the scripture where it talks about when you're in the sea and you're tossed and you're turned by the waves, there's just nothing you can do. How many of us know that God is always willing, capable, and able to help us through every situation? But sometimes we, those little things that we need to be praying for that we just throw by the wayside and feel like they're not important, well, how many of us know those little bitty challenges eventually can roll up into one big issue? And one big issue can turn into one ugly divorce, which is why we do this each and every Monday night to try to help you and prevent you from ever even thinking of saying those words, let alone acting those words out. And then I think about, Jesse, as I'm about to close and turn it over to you, I think about, as I go into some of the things that we really need to think about and figure out. When we think about humans, spouses, when we think about one another, we need to know it's so important. Humans and spouses, you need to know you have their back. So I need to know that no matter what I'm going through, no how difficult that it may be, that I can always call on my husband and he's going to be there for me. I shouldn't second guess, should I call my spouse or not? I should know that my spouse will have my back. I should also know that my spouse and Jesse will honor our vows before God and before man. That we're not out there trying to sleep around with everybody. We're not out there trying to, you know, just, you know, say a smooth word to another man or another woman as spouses, but we're out there trying to show by example, and we're trying to live our life the way God wanted us to live. Even though we live in an era of no-fault divorce, that is not the model God ordained from the beginning. We hate that word divorce. We really do. If we think about it, if we properly vetted our spouses and operated with a heart of forgiveness, there would be a need. There would not be a need for divorce. But so many of us forget about forgiveness. We don't even know how to say the word, let alone ask for it. Are you willing when you have done wrong to say, baby, I didn't realize that was going to affect you that way. Because see, guess what? You're not in my body and I'm not in yours. Things that you might do to me might affect me totally different than the things I do for you. It could be the exact same thing. But we as men and women think so different. And we do have the more sensitive side than men. So men, let me just say to you, husbands, think about everything you're saying before you're saying, especially if you know you've been in your marriage long enough that you should know your spouse in the way that they would want to receive from you. If it's not in love and if it can't be said in love, don't say it. So many times it's not so much what you say, it's how you say. It's the deliverance. So be careful about that. When I think about Jesse, and then I'm closing and heading it over to you, but when I think about Galatians 6:9, it tells us, and let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do. There's so much that we desire to reap. And when you think about being consistent in your marriage, it's just simple. Be consistent on a daily basis. Get up in the morning and say, I'm going to be consistent. Write down whatever it is that might be a challenge for you in being consistent. Look at that thing every single day. Put it next to your bed and look at it every day. Don't let self-doubt creep up, because if you do, then you're not going to be able to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish in your personal goals. And again, use the process to set those goals to be the best spouse that you can be. You want to make sure that you improve your consistency to consistently improve. And I say that to say that there are times when you have to isolate one goal in order to develop that consistency. There may be one thing that you got to work on initially. And that one thing that you must work on consistently, you got to say to yourself, I have the ability to do this. And go for it. Because your body is not going to want to tell you to do it. It's going to come against it. Fight your emotion. Whether we believe it or not, the brain is a taxing organ. It'll wear you down. Because you think one thing, one second, next thing, Satan coming in with something else that then clashes and confuses you more than anything. Then last but not least, do your part to forgive anything that you've done wrong for yourself to get to the point where you can start being a little bit more consistent and do the things that we know God would want you to do. And in doing that, there are so many examples of consistency that I would love, Jesse, to hear just a few of them. I know you know quite a few, but through our listening audience, I would love for you to come forward and just share with us some of those and give us an opportunity to continue to grow in this thing when we speak about oneness is driven by consistency.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. That's all I really can say. A great overview of the value we find in consistency. Because when we can be consistent in whatever we do, we will indeed have great success. Some may ask the question, what are some of those things? And some of them are very simple. They're not that complicated. At some point in time, if you were a man or a brother, you took it upon yourself to say that I love you. Well, even now, are you making a daily affirmation where you are saying, I love you? Are you making a point to allow those words to come out of your mouth? See, I know for many of us men, including myself, we didn't play around with that word, even back in the day, when some may have said those words or uttered those words in an attempt to perhaps even take advantage of a situation. Some of us just decided we were not going to play that game. And so we were very careful in making sure. But now that you've made that decision and you are engaged or you are married, it's incumbent that you make sure that's part of your daily affirmation. Tammy mentioned a number two piece, daily prayer for your spouse, to where even when you're not together, you have a frame of mind where you're praying without ceasing. That every time your spouse may come to your mind, you just pray. I know we share with the brothers all the time, and I'm sure the ladies as well, that when someone comes across your mind, your spirit, your heart, your soul, you just pray for them. You don't go into some kind of analytical evaluation assessment. You just pray for them. And then there should be some level of daily confession of appreciation. Ladies, I want to give you a hint. You must be your husband's greatest cheerleader. We've said that before in the past. And I've heard some women actually say, when did I have to become a cheerleader for a grown man? That's a very harsh perspective. Because, see, we have angels. We have Jesus, if we're going to believe what the Word has to say, sitting at the right hand of the Father, encouraging him to be forgiving to us. And see, we need a cheerleader because we live in a world where there's such a great level of pressure, of stress, of words being spoken into the atmosphere that are not encouraging, that are designed to tear us down more than building us up. So, yeah, we want to be a cheerleader for each other. It's so important. We must make sure that we take care of our physical engagement, i.e. sexual intercourse, as often as agreed. And don't hold that back as punishment by either spouse. And I say either spouse because we know from history and we know from experience, it's not always the woman that's holding herself back. Sometimes the man is as guilty that he will hold himself back. But see, God made that available that we will be able to come together and become one flesh. Where that scripture says that they will cleave together. And if you want to go and listen to some of the breakdown of what that means, you can go back and look into the last 11 years of archives where we speak about the definition of cleavage and the definition of what takes place when the penetration is necessary in order for a man and a woman to become one. There's a lot of stuff going on in that process, far more than just the pleasure of getting a full orgasmic release. Some powerful things going on. But see, you've got to have some agreement from a standpoint of frequency. And all of us don't have the same level of desire in that area. And but you've got to find that right balance in your relationship. You got to establish some form of continuous dating and whatever that may be. For some people, it may be you date coming together, especially over this last year plus, in a movie at home. It may be a walk in the park. It may be whatever you want to make it. But you must create some form of continual dating, regardless of how long you may have been married. There was some point in time where you believed, you felt that there was no greater pleasure for you than investing time with your spouse. Well, you got to be consistent and keep it up. Always be on a date. Surprise each other with some form of edification as often as possible. Ephesians 4:29, we've said that scripture so many times, that we should only allow edification to come out of your mouth, even when you may be in disagreement. Don't be guilty of condemning or using words of slander or libel, saying things that you know would be harmful not only to the flesh, but to the spirit as well. We must instead find a way to edify and to think on the good things, even when we have that moment of funk. Because, yeah, we have it. And when we have it, we got to be able to cast it down as a vain imagination. How about learning how to praise without relying on Hallmark, a Walmart, a Dollar Tree, or any of those other places that may sell cards? How about finding a way yourself to just simply write down something from your heart on a text, on an email, sending a card through the mail, or just putting a card someplace and doing something special in that regard? And be consistent. Agree on some form of home upkeep, something that you like to do, and whatever that may be. It doesn't have to be every week, every month, whatever it may be. Just say, we're going to do this, to again be guilty of investing in time together. There's something special, something sweet about that. And of course, if you have been so blessed to have children, jointly support the activity, the needs of those children, because not only will they benefit in understanding how a married couple walks together in unity in all things, but they need both parents' support. Now, I know some of you didn't have both parents, and you walked around and, you know, you've had your chest sticking out because you said, look at me and look at all of the things that I accomplished. And we say, praise God, you are blessed. You are highly favored. You have significant skills that you can't assume everybody else may have. You can't assume that just because you've been able to get by and be successful without both, that's the normal pattern. That's not God's original model. His model was established that two parents would be necessary to give you all you need when you yourself now move on and you graduate from child to adult, and then as a spouse, and then as a parent yourself. So we encourage you to be very, very mindful of the impact you will have on your children. And then again, we say, pray together. See, there are two different things. You should pray daily for your spouse, but as often as possible, you need to make sure that you can pray together. That's another element. That's another element. There's something powerful about it when you can hear your spouse praying for you and then you yourself praying for them. Very, very powerful. We want to encourage you to make sure you do so. Now, specifically, some mundane things that you must be consistent about. I ask yourself this question. How often have you been on a vacation with your spouse? You and your spouse. Have you been on one? When was it? When was the last time? See, there are some fundamental realities we have to come to embrace and promote in the pursuit of oneness. And see, first you've got to believe in the sacredness of marriage and the power of prayer to support God's creation. And part of that, when he said it's not good that a man live alone, he meant that she needed a spouse. And sometimes when you least may understand that it's necessary, you need to break away. Take a vacation. Do something together. Make sure that when you look at the prophetic benefits of oneness, that you do everything in your power to maintain that spiritual alignment. Be consistent in having a conversation. You may sometimes have a disagreement about something. And that's one thing I believe we have to learn as we grow in our marriages. We don't have to agree 1,000 or 1,000%. Who told you or who told anybody that you got to be in agreement 100% or 1,000% of the time? That's just another setup for failure. Because if you put in your mind that everything's got to be in agreement, or if you put in your mind that your spouse has got to agree with everything you have to say, then you are setting yourself up for failure. That's not necessary. Because most of the times we'll find if we have open communication, you'll find that's not necessary. I myself, I like to debate. I like to challenge. And I know sometimes that's an issue for many people. Sometimes it's an issue for my wife, and I try to say, look, you know, it's just a disagreement on a small particular situation. It has nothing to do with our relationship. And as we grow in maturity, we begin to understand that's what it is. It's a disagreement about a small element of your relationship, and you should not be bent out of shape about it. As a matter of fact, you may look at it as being healthy, that maybe now you got something to go back and research, something to go back and dig a little deeper about to see why did you become so emotionally in response to that small disagreement. We already spoke about the physical connection, but in reality, it's so critical. The Bible tells us men that we should love our wives, as we love our own bodies. But we live in a world today where we have been told that a honey bun is more important than a push-up. Perhaps, you know, it's better to go and get a Big Mac or a McRib or a Burger King or a Popeyes or whatever it may be. That's more valuable. It's more fun. It's more interesting. It's more tasteful. I enjoy it more than doing some jumping jacks or running 2 miles or walking a mile or whatever it may be. But I think we need to go back to the basis of that scripture and learn the value of what it means to love our wives as we love our own bodies and make sure we take care of these temples. Right before coming on, we got a word that my queen's cousin has been diagnosed colon and prostate cancer. And many times those invaders, those infirmities, they're not always known. They sometimes can sneak up on you. And when they sneak up on you, they can catch you by surprise. And hopefully that we'll be able to catch them. And once we catch them, we'll be able to deal with them. We'll be able to rebuke them. But men and women, I just want to encourage you. When you have something going on and you know something is going on, something is causing you to have issues like you've never had before, go in and get yourself checked out. It may grant you more time here on this planet. We must know and understand that the enemy's plan has never changed. That plan is to steal, kill, and destroy. And what is more valuable? You know, your mighty might and thinking that you could do all things and that you never have an issue with an infirmity, when even the Apostle Paul himself had a thorn in the flesh that God did not relieve him from. It continued to make him humble because of where he had come from. Some of us come into these marriages, one thinking that they are supreme to the other. And oftentimes, that's what God may use to break you down and humble you to the process. That you come and know and understand. No, when you come into a marriage, you come into a partnership. And God wants you to learn how to be consistent in the execution of your duties and your responsibilities. See, when we think about it as we move forward from tonight, what a some of those things that we can implement in a program of consistency. What are some of those things that God has already put in front of us that we can use God himself and even Jesus as examples? The word tells us that God is love. Is that not what he said? The word said that God is love and that he loved the world so much that he was willing to make available to us a gift that costs you nothing. The only thing required is that you have an element of faith. And from that love, he sent a son into the world that the world would not be condemned, but that through his son, the world might receive a gift. And when we study and look at the model of what that gift is all about, there's nothing more powerful than the verb called love. It's action. It's active. You want to make sure it's part of your program for consistency. How about confessing each day? The word has said, if you believe in your heart and you're willing to confess with your mouth, it says you have an opportunity to be saved. How about if you confess with your mouth that you love your spouse and that you're willing even to give down and lay down your life for them? What would that be like in your spirit, your soul, and your mind if you were willing to daily confess that level of commitment for another human being? What would it do to your spirit, man, and I say that generically, meaning men and women, if you walk each day knowing that you were driven so you confess? How about affirming? The word said, Jesus, he put it up for us. He said, all things are possible if you believe. Mark 9:23. He said, all things are possible if you believe. Do you believe you can be consistent? Do you believe you can forgive each other when you, one, may miss the mark? Because we're not perfect. Tammy said earlier. And see, it's a little different. I'll be honest. I kind of enjoy debate. Well, not kind of. I do. I enjoy debate because it challenges your mind. It challenges your spirit, your soul, everything. And then 2 minutes later, 5 minutes later, hour later, whatever it may be, I'm never in wrath or malice or even anger. I don't know why that's how I am. I have no idea. But I praise God that I share with people all the time. It's in love. If it's in a desire to push, it's in a desire to challenge. But most of all, never forget the need to edify, that we must find a way to edify. I know my queen is working on a special assignment, an assignment to just have us be the best we can be in our physical conditioning. And I say to her, well, you know, we are right for some old folks, and she's hoping we can push higher. We can push higher. And she means it all in love. And I said, okay, we're gonna push higher. So there's a few exercises that if we go to the gym that she has a challenge with. But I edify her anyway. Tell her, hey, you can do that. You're going to make that happen. We're going to increase a little bit. We're going to do more reps. We're going to do more sets. Because all of this stuff is stuff I've been doing all my life, even though I may take a sabbatical every now and then. Because, see, I could take a sabbatical from working out, but I can't take a sabbatical from loving my wife and seeing her become all that God wants her to be. And in each one of us spouses, we got to learn to appropriately delegate. There are certain things that your spouse may do better than you. There are certain things that you may acquiesce and say, okay, you got the skill in that lane. I'm not going to even try to debate it. I'm not going to even try to challenge you with it. I'm going to thank God that you walk in favor in that area. And God will bless you because you're willing to say, hey, you have more experience than I have. So why don't we allow God to use you? Why don't you be the leader in that particular area of our marriage, of our relationship, and not trip on it. You'd be surprised at how much value you get out of that. And last, the one that should be the most simple is sometimes the most difficult. Appreciate each other. Appreciate the fact that God, at some point in time in your relationship, he caused your paths to cross. He caused you to see each other. Whatever it may have been, that first time, it may have been a gorgeous smile. It may have been just a pleasant demeanor. It may have been the way he looked. May have been the way he smelled or she smelled. May have been some beautiful legs. Let's just be real about it. Don't know what it may have been, but whatever it was, appreciate that. Go back sometime and reflect on that moment, because God wants you to be consistent. Well, my brothers and sisters, we've shared from our hearts tonight, oneness is driven by consistency. Don't be consistently angry. Don't be consistently upset. But be consistent with your forgiveness, because God has already told us, hey, if you don't learn how to forgive, and especially in a marriage, his first ordained institution, don't ever think, feel, or believe you'll be forgiven by the Father. Father, we praise you tonight. We thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We pray tonight for our marriages, Father, for all of those who have joined us live and those who will join us in the archives. We ask you to bless them as they go out and as they come in. And, Father, until we come together back on this next Monday, we pray that during the course of this week, people will begin to look for strategies of consistency to give greater foundation and greater support to the institution of marriage and their own particular oneness. We give you glory. We give you honor. In Jesus' name, amen. We want to remind you that at 9 o'clock, dial back in. You got to hang up and dial back in to Sister Minister Leah Killens, Empowerment Ministry, at 9 o'clock. On Wednesday, the Reverend William J. Van Jr., 8 o'clock. Elder Jason Phillips at 9 o'clock. On Thursday, Minister George Flint. On Saturday, Mama Flint at 6. And on Sunday, Minister Amos Joseph Collins. Until next time, remember, oneness is driven by consistency. God bless. Have a great night.
Agape love.